Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
Hi girls! How are you? So, wow, that sounds sad. Are we like, all right? Or are we awesome? Right on. I heard that last week Beth did an amazing job. I heard it. I listened to it. She killed it, which means good. And then you guys had some special prayer time. How many of you got free of some thoughts that were consuming you and overtaking you? Hallelujah. See, this is good. God is healing the mind. God cares about our spirit, our soul, and our body, and I believe that God has something amazing for us today. Here I was I think I was about 21. Dan and I got married, and I'm going to bring you back for a second and tell you a little story. We got married at 21 years old. We went to youth camp. We got married. We had no money. So then we took all the money from the wedding and we drove up the coast. Can you amen me with the no money for a honeymoon, right? So we took all the money from there and we drove up the coast and we didn't even know where we were going to stay. The first night we stayed in this place and the people next to us, you would have thought they were on their honeymoon. And I was like freaking out. It was so uncomfortable. And I just remember watching the TV show was like Greatest Roller Coasters of like America or something. I'm like, this is so not romantic. And so, but then we drove up the coast and we ended up just having a good time with each other, trying to get to know each other. Then his parents had at this time a little cabin up in Big Bear. And so they were like, why don't you guys just go stay up there? And we were like, all right. So we finally get through LA back down here and we realize we do not have the keys. So we're up in Big Bear and we're like, can someone drive us up the keys? So we had a friend at that time and his friend's name was Bob. Now Bob wrecked all of my cars. He literally is on our insurance that's saying that Bob cannot drive our car still to this day. And so Bob drives up to Big Bear. He hands us the keys. It's like 11 o'clock at night and he's like, okay, cool, let's go. Like he was going to go into the cabin with us and we were like, no, you get to drive back down the hill. Thank you. So this is our adventure. Right after we left the Big Bear cabin, we left and came and we packed all of our bags and then we went to youth camp because we were like sold out youth leaders. Like that was our passion. We were gonna save every teenager in the Inland Empire and that was what we were gonna do for Christ, you know? And so we were sold out. And so we get up to youth camp and then we leave youth camp and we go straight to the airport at Ontario and we head off to Rhema and I never went home. And so we went from ministry to ministry. And so we got on the airplane for Rhema. We get out to Rhema. And I'm sitting in class at Rhema. And I'm like, what is Rhema? Like, I don't even know anything about who is Brother Hagin. All of a sudden, Brother Hagin walks in the room. And everybody stands up. And I'm like, oh, okay, I guess we're supposed to stand up. Why are we standing up? And I started to learn about honor. I started to learn about respect at Rhema. I had to learn about that the presence of God, this man carried the anointing of God and that there were things that came out of him and that there was a life that he lived and he began to teach me the word in another way. And so he really drilled into us as students. We were the last class that got Brother Hagin. So I thought that was pretty awesome. And he told us how he was going to die. And when I found out that he died, I asked Cheryl Salem, because she was friends with him, how did he die? And he died the exact same way he told us in class. I mean, this man was like on another level of supernatural. He completely understood the spiritual realm. He completely understood the power and the anointing of God. And so when he brought these scriptures to us as a class, you know when you get something and you're in church and you hear a scripture and you're like, oh, that's good, okay. You know, and the preacher's really passionate about it. But then you kind of go home like, okay. Well, then something happened in our lives a few years later. And our daughter was attacked demonically. Demons were literally attacking our child in the middle of the night. We didn't understand what was going on. We were now back leading shift. We had just started shift. We had just casted a demon out of a young man. And when we went home, our daughter was attacked for like a month. And the Lord began to walk me down my path and my journey of the same scriptures that were drilled into me at Rhema by Brother Hagin that I didn't understand when I sat in church and went, yeah, okay, this is great, this is powerful. Boy, did I have to start pulling them out and start using them. So today I want you to take notes because life is gonna come. The devil's going to come knocking at your door. The attacks of the enemy are going to happen. We live in this earthly realm. And when they happen, I don't want you to be caught off guard. I don't want you not to understand who you are. I don't want you to sit back and cry in fear and trembling. Because you see, I had carried a spirit of fear all those years ago. I had carried it for so long and did not realize that this was what my daughter was being attacked by. And the Lord began to teach me out of these scriptures, listen, daughter, you have to deal with this and face it head on because he is going to continue attacking her until you deal with this spirit. Because it's passed down from generation to generation to generation. And I remember being so afraid. I remember being in my bedroom and when you can feel the presence of evil. Have you ever felt the presence of evil and you get goosebumps up your arms and you just know something isn't right? And I would just get this like chills up my back and I just was uncomfortable and I just knew something wasn't right. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, you're dealing with a spirit. And I said, well, what do I do? He said, what were you taught? I said, I was taught to speak those scriptures over myself. And he said, then start in the beginning. So I began to speak the scriptures. And in the beginning of the scripture says that I would have the knowledge and the understanding and the revelation. And the Lord says, you need some knowledge and understanding of what you're facing right now. And I said, what am I facing? He said, it's a spirit of fear. I said, I don't want to see it. I can feel it. And he goes, fine. He goes, but you need to do something about it. And I said, I can't do anything about this. You need to do something about this. And he said, no, I left you all authority. You do something about it. And I was like, well, what? And he goes, see, it sees your weakness that you don't know. You don't know who you are and you don't know what you carry. It does, but it's waiting for you to find out. And I was like, what? And I began to reteach myself all those scriptures I sat through for 2 years. And I began to realize, whoa, I've been doing this all wrong. When the attacks came, when those spirits came, when those evil things came, I was succumbing to them. I was allowing them to paralyze me to move forward in life. I was allowing those thoughts to overtake who I was and to change my physical being. Honestly, I was stressing out. I was depressed. I wasn't sleeping right. I was worried all the time. I was in fear and I was in anxiety. I was worried about my baby and I didn't know where to go and what to do. And God said, what are you doing? And I said, I don't know. And he said, let me teach you again, daughter. And he took me to these scriptures. So let's go there. We're going to go to Ephesians. I don't want you, as your pastor, I love you. And I want you, I can't be in your bedroom with you at night. I can't be there every time someone ends up in a hospital. I can't be there always, all the time. I can be there in prayer for you for sure. But you don't need me to stand by your side like that in a physical way because you have the one who is living and dwelling and it carries all power inside of you, working through you and in you. But I need to fill you up right now. So are you ready to get filled up? Because God has to drop some revelation on us so we aren't picked from pillar to post, so that you aren't taken out, so that your life isn't shorter than it should have been, or that your life was wasted. Oh, to live such a wasted life. Every day you do the same thing. You're in the same routine. There's nothing to look forward to. There's no power behind anything you say or what you do. Nobody values you, and you have no future. How many of us have lived that way and felt that way about ourselves? Well, I'm here today to tell you that is not true. That is a lie from the pit of hell, and God has come and died on that cross. He has given you authority. He has given you reign. He has made you his daughter. You are an inheritance. You are adopted into the kingdom of God, and he loves you so much. So for me to let you sit side to the side, to sit in a chair, to just be quiet. Think we're just going over scriptures. I want you to know right now you are studying for the day you will need it. You may need it now, but there may be a day you need it. And when you need it, I want you to be able to pull it out. And you just pull it out from your catalog of knowing what God has for you in the Word of God. Knowing what God is going to carry you through in the hard times. Because he didn't promise us that the hard times won't be here. He just said, I am with you through them. I am your strength through them. I will carry you through them. You will not be tormented. You will not be tainted. I'm your judge. I am the one that goes before you. I'm your counselor. I am the one that will lead you down the path of righteousness. You see, girls, you have promises for you in these times. So many times when we want to point at God and be like, it's his fault. God is saying, it's not my fault. It's your fault. You didn't use what I gave you. Stop blaming me for your weakness, because God is not weak. He's not a God that is going to leave you or forsake you. You are the one that leaves him. You are the one that forsakes him. He's not a God that doesn't have your back. He's a God that says, I've got you. I'm holding you up. I'm your strength. But you're not using the strength I've given you. So you find yourself in a place of weakness and inconsistency. You find yourself in a place of over-emotion, and where your mind overtakes your soul, and you turn into this person that I don't even know who you are, because that's not my daughter. Oh, my daughter stands up and says, oh, hell no. I know who I am. And in the name of Jesus, you are not going to overtake me. In the name of Jesus, I'm not going to allow what the enemy is putting in front of me to be my reality, because I have a reality beyond this, and his name is Jesus, and I live in his realm, and I serve his kingdom, and I'm a part of who he is, and he's a part of who I am. You see, this is what this Christian walk is really about, girls. I'm sick of the patty cake messages. I'm sick of let's just come into church and make me feel good and don't convict me of my sin. This is a God who died for your sin. How offensive is it when you come into the house and you're not willing to give it up for him when he gave it all up for you? You see, I'm going to ask you to go a step further with God today. I'm going to ask you to take your Christian walk, not just in 1, 2, 3 steps, but 2 miles, and start running and go the distance, because this is not the time to be messing around. We are in the end times, and God is raising up an army, and he needs you to know who you are. You need to put your battle gear on, and you need to understand that this cannot overtake this. You got to understand that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But until you do, you will be defeated. You will be pushed down, shaken down. You will be ran over. You will be killed and destroyed, because that's the assignment on your life. You say, no, that's not the assignment on my life. Oh, yes, it is. The devil hates you. He hates what you carry. He hates what you represent. He hates everything we are and who God is. You see, the title of this message is Power for Life. I need power for the life I've got to live here on earth. I need the power of God that is living in me to fulfill me, to change me, to move me. Just like electricity runs through a wire and turns on our lights, that power runs through that wire in order for us to have light. I need to flip that switch and turn that power on inside of me. So today's your day. You're going to flip the switch. You're going to find out the power that lives inside of you. This is what God does. The greatest power move that was ever carried out was the one when God sent his only son to take on human flesh and to die for his broken people. He then went down to hell and back, and he took the keys of sin and death. You see, I want to explain something to you. Satan had a hold of us and sin. And when he died on that cross, he was broken open, and our sins were washed away, and he became the spotless lamb. When he went down to hell, he took back the authority over sin from Satan, the keys that locked us in. And he took them from Satan, and he went, and he sat at the right hand of the Father. When he died, he said, "It is finished." But listen, it doesn't stop there, church. Church of the Most High God. You see, let me tell you something. God did something that day and left us on this earth to carry it out. But how many of us are not carrying it out? We're whiny babies that aren't using the power that he left us. You see, he didn't do that for no reason. He did it because it's going to be a requirement. of a Christian walk to understand that price that was paid to carry it out, to get people saved, to heal people, to see freedom of mind, freedom of love, and freedom of the goodness and the Holy Spirit upon this earth. Because Satan is trying to take as many as he can, but you are in the Lord's army and you are in a battle right now. You may not understand this, but you are in a battle. Do you understand that they are not coming against any other religion but Christianity? Do you guys, I mean, maybe you don't watch the news, but I want to tell you something. On Tuesday, the state of California was passing bills saying that when someone says that there's something going on inside of them that they know is against the word of God, they're having homosexual tendencies, or maybe they're just these thoughts are going in their mind and they don't know how to overtake them. They don't know how to get past them. That we are no longer allowed to help them through that. And that we cannot teach out of anything that goes against that. Do you see what I'm saying? They're trying to silence the church. They're trying to say that not even Christian organizations will be able to use those scriptures in the Word of God. I don't think you guys understand how much under attack you are. Because if you're a Christian, you're under attack. They're taking away your freedom of religion. They're taking away your freedom of speech. And until we stand up, until we understand that this is not just Democrat and Republican and white people and black people, what a bunch of crap, guys. It's such a piece of distraction to get us off the spirit behind it all. The spirit behind it all is a spirit of division, a spirit of dissension, a spirit that wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And it has nothing to do with your race. It has nothing to do with your tendencies. It has everything to do to keep you separated from the things of God. That's what's really happening, church. That's what's really happening, California. We need to wake up, Christians. We need to start putting out our swords and our shields again. We need to start using our voice again and not being annoying, but being bold in our religion and in our faith. Because I told my kids this week, the day they tell me I can't preach the Bible, you better come visit mama in jail. Because I'm not backing down. I'm not backing down, church. I have to answer to him. I don't answer to man. So I'm telling you right now, this is why this is so important. I don't think we understand how under attack we are. I don't think you understand how the devil is trying to change your thoughts. He's trying to indoctrinate us against everything this word stands for. And he's trying to say because you don't agree with something, you hate it. That's not true. That is not true. God came for every sinner. He didn't come for the saved. He came for the sinner. He came for the broken. He came for the lost. He came for the ones that weren't accepted. He came for the ones that had weird thoughts. He came for the one that didn't understand their identity. He came for the one who was broken down, busted, and disgusted. That's what he did that day, that supernatural, amazing, miracle-working God. And here we are, ambassadors, to carry that love into a broken generation, into a broken people, into a chosen generation, into a chosen people, because we have to change their mindsets from broken to chosen. You see, that's what this is about, guys. That's what this is about. My question for you today, ask yourself this, is why do we not live in what was done on that cross that day? I don't go to the cross. I don't sit at the cross and stay there. Jesus didn't stay on the cross. In 3 days, he rose again. Why do we stay at the cross, though? Why do we worship that moment? That moment was long gone and moved on. He rose from the dead. He took the keys of sin and death so we could be free, so we could have authority, so we could have power. Stop sitting at the cross. Don't back up and sit next to it and stay there for a while. Get up, move on, live in what he's done, live in the resurrection of who he is, live in the power of God that's in us and around us and through us. You see, I think God celebrates everything about humanity. He did not have to come and wrap himself in flesh and submit himself to a human experience, but he did. So that he could understand what we feel, so he could understand what we see, so he could understand what it was like to eat, so he could understand what it was like to sleep, so he could understand what it was like to hurt, so he could understand the emotion and the pain of brokenness. Death never fazed God. When he went to Lazarus, he wasn't freaking out like, oh, I'm going to raise him from the dead. Oh my gosh, what do I do? I don't know what to do with Lazarus. Okay, I guess I could pray. No, he's just like, Lazarus, rise and walk. It wasn't an issue for him. It wasn't an issue for him. I don't believe him dying on that cross. And when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and when he was weeping and travailing, when the blood was stripping from his sweat glands, it's not because he was afraid of what was going to happen. It was because he was taking on the sin of you and I. It's because the weight of our sin was so strong and so deep and so big and such a big chasm that no one could carry it but the power of God. You see, that was the only redemption that could take that. So you don't have to live in the bondage of sin and Satan and his lords of hell. You don't have to live in that world anymore. So why are we not living this way every day? Why do we get ourselves so upset? Listen, I'm not saying this like I don't. Many times, if I could just remember, stop being so upset about something. You know, really, like, why are you letting this person get to you? Well, you know, I heard all this stuff with California, and I thought, oh my goodness, they aren't even telling anyone they're trying to pass these bills. These are actually illegal. These go against the Constitution. Like, who can do this? They said, because nobody's coming against it, they will. So until someone actually sues them and goes through that process, they'll just keep going. And I feel like, God, what do you need us to do as a body of Christ? What do you need us to do when our forefathers came over here for religious freedom so that they didn't have to live in a world that told them they couldn't read the Bible and couldn't do religion a certain way? You see, I'm trying to wrap my mind around when you go through history and you see that God was in it all, that there cannot be a fear in it because the Spirit of God works in everything. He stirs his Spirit in men. He stirs his Spirit in women, and he rises them up for their time and their purpose and their call to the generation they live in, for the time they live in. You see, we don't have to have a spirit of fear over these things. But I do have to remind myself, wait a second, what am I doing? I'm not going to freak out about California. I'm just going to go to prayer. I'm just going to fast and pray because that's my biggest ticket right now. And that's what I did. We just got on it. We fasted and prayed. We're still not getting results because you know why? They're probably torn. I'm hoping they're like, no, this can't be. We can't take these rights away from religion. You see, God has a plan, but we have to do our part. We can't be lazy in our walk with God. Ephesians 1:15-20. Now these are the verses. If you could put these to memory, if you could pray them over yourself every single day, it will change your walk with the Lord like you've never experienced before. And the more you read them, the more you say them, the more you'll understand them. Okay? Here we go. It says, therefore I also, after I've heard of the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ and love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in our prayers. I love this, that Paul is praying for us. And this is what he's praying. And it says, then the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, not the unsaved. Wait a second, didn't we just go through, we're an inheritance of Christ, we're adopted into Christ. He's talking to the believer, okay? So, where am I at? That the love for all the saints do not cease. Verse 17. That God, the Lord God of Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. I need some wisdom, God, in circumstances. Maybe you're going, I don't understand. Well, that's because you need wisdom. You need the wisdom of God to pour upon you and pour out in you. You don't understand because you're not supposed to understand. But you need to see through the eyes of the spirit realm. You need to see through the eyes of what God sees and how he needs the outcome to be. Many times, stop yourself and say, I need your wisdom, God. Give me your wisdom. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The closer you get to him, the more spirit and revelation you're going to get. Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding. I love this. It says eyes of our understanding. We think the eyes, right? But what is the eye of our inner man? The heart. That the eyes of our understanding of the heart of our understanding, that we would wrap our heart around the understanding and the principles of God, that we would wrap our heart and our heart would see what God needs us to see, because we are led with our hearts, especially as girls, right? When your baby's hurting, your heart just starts to break and you just want to make sure that everything's going to be okay. That is what God put in us. I believe we understand these scriptures a little deeper as women, that we will know the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Verse 18, that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. Ooh, I need to be enlightened. I don't understand what I'm hearing coming out of our Senate lately. I don't understand what I'm hearing coming out of the mouths of people I've been friends with my whole life. And I'm going, wait, what? When did you start thinking like that? When did ours start becoming your enemy? When, what? You see, these are things I need to be enlightened about. And when you get enlightened on these things, you'll realize there's a spirit behind it. That you're not dealing with the person themselves or the situation, but there's demonic powers working behind it, doing everything it can do to take you out, to defy you, to discourage you, to break apart healthy relationships, to break apart things that really aren't broken, but make them look so broken, and we can turn mountains out of molehills. Come on, guys. This is also what God is talking about. You need to be enlightened. That the eyes of our understanding, that we would be enlightened. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. I love how Beth covered that. It was so good. What are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in his saints? Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power. Verse 20. He worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of heavenly places. We're going to stop there. I'm not going to go any further because we're going to get into spiritual warfare next week. But before we go there, I need you to understand some things about the power of God. So today we're going to talk about the power of God, who he is, what these scriptures mean for us then, and then what it is that we're supposed to carry out with this power. And then next week we're going to get into the demonic side of these things. And you go, what, we're going to talk about demons? Yep. We are. If the real can make movies about them, let's tell the truth. Come on. Because they make the demons look like they got power over what? Nothing. Okay, so we're going to go there. I'm going to break down Ephesians 1:19. So just go with me. We're going to study this out. You guys ready? Got your pens and your papers? Ephesians 1:19. And it says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power? What the exceeding greatness of his power? In the Greek, this word power is called dunamis. It means strength, power, ability, inherit power. Power residing in a thing by a virtue of nature. Power for performing miracles. Ooh, I want that. Moral power, excellence of the soul, power and influence which belongs with to riches and wealth. Can we say amen to that kind of power? Power and resource arising from numbers. When you get a group of loud people together, what happens? They have power over that situation, right? Power consisting in and resting upon armies. We are the army of God. And it says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power? I love this. In Jude, it says, talks about God's power in Jude 1:25. It says, to God our Savior, who alone is wise. He's not wise because he has a company of people. He himself is wisdom in itself. He's wise. Be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Guys, we are living in the forever time. They wrote this how long ago, and they're talking about us today. This God that was their God back then is the same God that's ruling today. He's the same reigning God with all power today. The same God that has power over wealth. The same God that has power over armies. The same God that has power over intellect. The same God that has power over all the things of this earth. You see, when we allow the devil to take his place of power, God no longer looks great and exceeding any longer. God begins to diminish in our minds. Where's God? I don't know why God isn't in this. We've all said it. I don't know what God's doing. I'm mad at God. Well, it's just so easy to be mad at God because he's so loving. It's like family, right? They could be the meanest to each other because they know that they're stuck with each other. They can go back and apologize later. But they're not going to go treat the neighbor that way, right? Because that's embarrassing and that would be shameful, right? Sometimes you treat God that way. But yet this exceeding incredible power is for you and I. And it says this exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. When I broke down toward us, guess what it said? Into us. This exceeding great power into us. This exceeding great power, not apart from us, not separated from us, not away from us, but into us. You see, when I understand, wait a second here, are you telling me that the God who stops the ocean from coming on the land, the one who created the solar systems and daily is creating more and more, you're telling me that the God that raised Lazarus from the dead, the one that rose from the grave, is the same power that's working inside of me? Yes, that's what I'm telling you. But yet, sometimes the church won't talk about this because they don't want to seem weird. But let me tell you something. When you take on Jesus, when you ask him to come and be the Lord and Savior of your life, you change and you become a new creation. You inherit, you are adopted, you are in his inheritance, so you receive all of those things that are part of him. How beautiful is this? So toward us, into us, who believe, according to, we're going to stop there, I'm going to break this down for you, according to means in the same measure or to the exact degree. So let's read this together real quick. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us or into us who believe according to in the same measure or in the exact degree? That means God wasn't this God walking the earth doing these miracles, these signs and these wonders, teaching people, and yet we just get maybe a little dose of that here on earth. It's saying in the full measure, to the exact degree. To the level that he walked this earth and did the miracles, signs, and wonders, he is asking us to do that as well. Why are we not? Because we're in doubt. We think it's our own ability. I heard a story. I thought this was crazy. This man was writing this blog, and he was saying, you know, here's Jesus riding the donkey that day on Palm Sunday when they were waving the palm branches and they're putting the palm branches in front of the donkey and the donkey is riding. Now, what if the donkey said, oh, thank you, but it's not me, it's him, it's him. And what if the donkey was like pointing back to Jesus like, it's him, not me, but thank you. And he said, how foolish would that be? So here's this man, he went to Africa. And he began to do a healing crusade, and people got saved. And he said when he was leaving the healing crusade, people were running after him, grabbing his clothes and wanting to touch him. And he did what all of us would do. No, it's not me. It's God. Like, God healed you. You don't need to touch me to get healed. You don't. And he said the Lord stopped him and said, you remember the donkey? You cannot be this way. Because you are the power. You are my power carried out. Let them touch you because they will be healed. That donkey was a part of that mission. That donkey was a part, but it wasn't about the donkey. It was about what was the donkey carrying. He was carrying the power of God. He was carrying Jesus himself. We carry Jesus himself. So we are not to be praised, but we are to be releasing the power that God has put in us and given us to use. But we're not. We could say amen all we want. We could, but I don't know. Just me? I'm just like some, you know, normal person. I'm not a pastor. I'm not somebody that reads the word every day, Pastor Jess. I'm really not. Like, I wish I could, you know, be honest enough to say that. And I'm not the greatest prayer either. But wait a second. Stop. Are you the daughter of God? And did God give you power? When you asked him to come into your heart, be the Lord and Savior of your life, did you get adopted in and inherited into something incredible? Because this is into us to the full extension of his power. Are you guys getting this today? Am I breaking it down simple enough for you to understand? Because it could go really deeper. I'm sure if my mom was here, it would be like on a whole nother level of heaven. But okay. And then it says, toward us according to the working of his mighty power. There's that word again, power. But check this out. it's a different meaning for this word power. And I went, Lord, what are you doing here? You're talking about power, but you have two different meanings in the Greek. You have the one for the intellect. You have the one for all this. He said, now this power is the other side of my power. It's the authority of a reigning power. That's what this one means. It's called kairos, dominion and strength, manifestation power. The word especially signifies exerted strength, power shown effectively in a reigning authority. So wait a second. Is God saying to us that we now have power over things, but now we are a reigning authority here on earth? Guys, are we? Is this like, is the penny dropping yet? Like, you are a reigning authority over the principalities of darkness. And when you get this, all hell is going to begin to shake and go, oh no, they figured it out. Because we are going to send them packing. We're going to send those demonic powers, those things that have so consumed our lives for so long. And we're going to, wait a second. I am a reigning authority by Jesus Christ in me. And I command you in the name of Jesus to go back to hell where you came from. When that name cancer comes your way, you go, all right, that's a name that is above every name. And I take authority over that name. And you will not live in my body. You will not continue in my body. You will not continue to reign through me and in me. You see, it changes some things. When we understand the power of God, it begins to change who we are as Christians. Girls, you carry that power. You carry the authority of Jesus Christ. That's who you are, because that's who he is. You see, the power of his working mighty power is strength manifested. Let's just take a beautiful picture of this. I love the Amplified Version. And when we think about the power of God, he so displays this beautifully through the word of God. Beth told an incredible part of the story when he was on the boat and he calmed the sea, right? And that happened more than once. And do you know that I was on the ocean the other day. We decided to get away for 2 days. And the one day I just slept because I think I was just tired. And then the next day I was like, we are going to the beach. So we went to the beach. And it was just like it was like therapy. Do you ever go like to the mountains or the beach and it's just like, you know? And I believe God made those places for us to go to so that we can rejuvenate our soul. He created that for us, right? So I'm standing on the edge of the ocean and I'm looking at it. I'm always mesmerized how the ocean stops and doesn't go too far up. And I'm always tripped out when these houses are too close to the ocean, because all those scriptures, you know, don't build your house on the sand, you know, like all these things go through my head, you know. And the more and more I get older, the more and more I'm turning to my mother, where everything becomes spiritual. And so I'm standing on the ocean and the ocean is coming up, and I said, oh, thank you, Lord, it's so calming. And I've been just so crazy. Our lives have just been crazy lately. And he said, I loved the ocean and the water too. And I go, what do you mean? He goes, remember the boat? I was sleeping. They were freaking out. But the water calms me. And I calm the water. And I was like, dude, mic drop. Like, he calms the water. Like, he's not afraid in the storm because he controls the storm. You see, that's the power that is working inside of us. I don't know. It's just like, it's overwhelming to me. So here's Job. His whole life fell apart. And God starts to explain who he is. And I'm going to say it out of the Amplified because I think it says it like a beautiful poetic story. You ready? Job 26, 7 through 14 in the Amplified, if you want to go back. It is he who spreads out the north over the emptiness and hangs the earth on nothing. He wraps the waters in his clouds, which otherwise will spill out on earth all at once. And the clouds that, sorry, I'm a bad reader. And the clouds that do this do not burst under them. Ooh, I love that. He covers the face of the full moon, and he spreads his cloud over it. He has inscribed a circular limit, the horizon, on the face of the waters at the boundary between light and darkness. The pillars of heaven tremble and are terrified at his rebuke. He stirred up the sea by his power, and by his understanding he smashed the proud Rahab. The proud Rahab, you know what that is? A sea monster. That is the translation for that. Did you know that there are sea monsters? Interesting, right? I mean, I've watched those studies, and I've wondered what is out there that we really don't know. Verse 13, by his breath, the heavens are cleared. His hand has pierced the swiftly fleeing serpent, that's Satan himself. Verse 14, yet these are just the fringes of his ways, mere samples of his power, the faintest whisper of his voice. Who can contemplate the thunder and the fullness of his mighty power? That's who he is. That's how powerful he is. This is the God we serve. This is our dad. This is our savior. This is our redeemer. This is the one who lives inside of you and me. If you've asked him to come into your heart and be the Lord and savior of your life, this is who he is. Ephesians 1:20 says, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. He is Jesus. In Acts 2:24, in the Passion Translation, is a really neat translation. It says, God destroyed the cords of death and raised him up because it was impossible for death's power to hold him prisoner. There's no power that could have held Jesus prisoner. Satan tried it, right? He tried it, but it didn't work. It was like, psych. I'm out of here. Is that not even a cool word anymore? That's so aged me right now, probably, huh? Sometimes I say things and I'm like, my kids are like. But Jesus was like, you're trying it. I'm going to do this for my people, but you're never going to have power over me. I already have the victory. He already knew this. Oh, isn't that a good news? And he raised him from the dead, and he seated him at the right hand of heavenly places. The authority meant that you were seated at the right hand. When you were in a place of authority, you sat at the right hand of the Father. You sat at the right hand of the King or whoever was in charge. Psalms 110 says that the Lord said, I love this. The Lord said to the Lord. So God said to Jesus, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. This is not something that overwhelms them or him. They're not moved by Satan's power. Like the president and the Senate and the government doesn't freak him out. He's not like, oh, what are they gonna do? No. He's saying, I need you to get to work, start praying, start being a real Christian, quit talking about all the bad and start praying for the good. Stop getting yourself on judgment. You're not the judge. Start praying for freedom. Start praying for sound minds. Start praying for enlightenment. Start praying for revelation for these people. You see what I'm saying? This is what God is asking us to do. So when he is seated at the right hand in heavenly places. Now listen to me. They're not talking about heaven. He's not talking about the realm of heaven right here. He's talking about heavenly places. That means that the heavenly places are referring to the invisible realm that surrounds us on a daily basis in many situations. The spiritual world that we cannot see, but it's operating all around us. You see, he's in all and he is all. He sees all and he knows all. Don't you love that you can have the revelation of the one who knows all? You can have the wisdom and understanding of the one who sees all and understands how things operate. I love this. So this is what God is saying to us. So what is the takeaway from these scriptures? You ready for it? Number one, I am not separated from him. Many times, this is you. Okay? And this is God. And we're both full. And I'm filled up with God, but I'm not fully filled up with God. Because I limit myself, not because he limits me. Because I choose not to put him in the full capacity that he needs me to be. But when we think of ourselves as this little cup and he's the big picture, right? He's the God picture. We are separated. But what this is saying is, you are not separated. You are in him. Now, when I'm in him, I can't go back and take all that water, that same exact water molecules, all of it, and put it back into that cup, can I? It's now blended and mixed, and there's just no way of separating that. And God is saying, I want you to get a picture. You're not of your own. You were bought with a price. I came and I filled you up when you asked me to be your Lord and Savior. All the power that I carry is yours. All the authority that I have has been left to you here on this earth. I need you to operate in it. So God comes back. He fills us up to an overflowing. This is how our lives should look, is overflowing on a constant basis. Not empty, wondering what. You see, we are not separated from him. But I carry the same dunamis power that he carried when he was here walking on this earth. That means when I got to go pray for someone, when it looks like a bleak situation, which we have all the time as pastors, we walk into those hospital rooms, we answer the phone calls of the most heartbreaking stories you could ever hear. How do we do it? The dunamis power. How do we get through it? The dunamis power. How do I do it? The Caritas power. How do I do it? The Caritas authority that I know that God has put inside of me. And when I walk in, I'm going to pray and I'm going to lay hands on, I'm going to believe God for the impossible. Because he didn't tell me to do anything else. He told me to pray for the sick and they shall be healed. See, that's the heartbeat of God. That's what God wants. We can blame God for why he didn't or why he did. But that's what God wants. We are not separated from him. We carry that power. I love this verse. If you could remember anything today, remember this verse. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:17, but he who has joined to the Lord in one spirit is with him. I love that. He who is joined to the Spirit is with him. Number two takeaway from this verse, because he did, I can. Because he went ahead of me, I can do it too. Because he walked those steps, all I got to do is walk right back in those footprints, and I can make it to the other side. I can be in faith over the impossible. I can believe for the sick and they can be healed. I can ask God for strength through tragedy when my broken heart doesn't know how to get back up again. I can ask for God to comfort it in that time of mourning, and he will cry with me in that moment, and then he will pick me up when I need to be healed. You see, this is the power that is living inside of us. Because he can, I can. Because he did, I will. You see, that's who our God is, and that's what he wants us to take away from this. See, the revelation of this, the enlightenment of this to our hearts and to our minds and to our eyes can be completely life-altering for us. You can ignore this message and you cannot take it to heart. You cannot walk it out, or you can. And you can say, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to live life with power. I'm going to live life as his daughter. I'm going to live life and remind the devil, wait a second, quit messing with me. Is he robbing your finances? Do you feel like you're picking up a bag and just like all the money's falling out and you're like, gosh, everything keeps breaking. Everything keeps happening. Come on. Stop that. In the name of Jesus, I command my finances to not be pouring out of this bag, but in the name of Jesus, God, that you would restore them. You'd open new doors for them. God, Lord, that you'd make new ways. Lord, I believe I'm a tither. So I thank you for the checks in the mail. I thank you for the gifts and surprises. I thank you for finding money. You see, this is about faith, guys. This is not about just saying it, but it's about believing it. And when you understand and you keep your heart set on who you are, his daughter, what you carry, his power, his authority, things change. It's life-altering. We will no longer live this powerless life that's incapable of facing life. We will overcome and we will take dominion. When you walk in a room and you need the lights on, do you just say, power, come on? No, right? You have to go over the light switch and turn the light switch on. The power runs through the cords and turns the light on. All you got to do is turn your light switch on today, girls. Flip the switch on your life and say, you know what? I'm flipping the switch. Today I'm going to live in the power of God. I'm no longer going to be defeated. I'm no longer going to believe these lies that the enemy has been telling me about my family or my kids or my husband. I'm no longer going to believe that this report of sickness is going to be my demise. No, I'm going to believe that I'm healed by the stripes on the cross. I'm going to command the sickness to go back to hell where it came from. You see, you begin to flip the switch. Turn the switch on, girls. Allow the power of God to be released. When you flip on that switch, guess what happens? It releases light. When you flip on the switch in your heart of understanding and revelation, it sheds the light of Christ on your situation, and you all of a sudden are illuminated with his goodness, with his power, with the word that he has for you, who you are in him. He sees you. He says you're beautiful. He loves you. He adores you. He created you. He made you the way you are because he likes your big fat mouth. Or he made you the way you are because he likes your quirky personality that people just sometimes don't get. But guess what? He loves you. And that's who he made you to be. Because if we were all the same, it'd be a very boring world that we live in. So I'm glad that we all have different personalities and we all look different. But I think that's where God says, let's flip the switch and celebrate each other. Let's flip the switch and walk together in power. Let's flip the switch and be who I've asked you to be. Look like my church. Look like my church. Walk in my power and my reign and my authority. We will carry out his power and authority that he has left to us, and we will release it. The things that which once brought us fear will no longer have power over us ever again. I'll tell you right now, I can walk in a room and I know when the spirit of fear is there. Like, it's a familiar spirit to me because I lived with it so long as a little girl. So I walk in and I can feel it. And I'm like, and the first thing that used to happen when I was learning my authority in all this was, ooh. And then stop it. Come on, you can overtake. In the name of Jesus, I command you to go back to hell where you came from. You flee in the name of Jesus. I told that spirit to go, and I could feel it leave. Now I walk, I'm like, oh, it's just, go back to hell. Like, I don't even, it just stopped. It just stopped because it's like, well, I'm wasting my time with her. I'm going to move on. So he tried it with my kids. And I had to teach my babies. I had to teach my two-year-old who could not talk how to pray. I literally had to help her form words to say Jesus, that she knew how to fight these demonic powers off. I had to sit my Titus guy down and say, Ty, these things are coming against you, and you have to understand because he has this self-infliction thing. He beats himself up so bad, I can't. You have kids like that? Like, he literally one time went and found the play's handcuffs and put them on and put himself in the corner. I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you in the corner with handcuffs on? I mean, it's kind of funny, but like, it was that moment of like, what is happening here? And he's like, I was mean to Micah. And I'm like, oh, come on. Like, seriously, I'm like, Micah, did you do this to him? He's like, no, Mom, what is wrong with him? He puts himself in the corner with handcuffs. They're not real handcuffs, by the way. They're the play ones, right? Okay, I just wanted to let everyone know that. I did not do that. So, I know, CPS, please don't be calling. So, I had to sit Titus down because the fear came on me. Like, this could be bad for his future. You know, he's going to be his own worst enemy to the point where the enemy will lie to him and tell him horrible things. Run yourself off a cliff. Do all these things. Those are demonic powers in your mind if you have those thoughts. Kill yourself. That's a spirit of suicide. You tell that thing to go back to hell and that you have something to live for and that God has called you and he loves you. And today's not the end. Today's the beginning because you're going to flip the switch of who God is inside of you. You see, I had to sit my Titus boy down and say, baby, I love you, but this is bigger than you. This is not about you even bugging Micah because that's what brothers do. But this is about, and then I didn't know what to say. I was like, I am the one who punishes you. You do not punish yourself. And I was like, is that right? Yeah, that's right. Like, have you ever had those moments as a mom? You're like, am I doing this right? Am I saying this right? I don't know. And then I had to break down some scripture for him. And I said, you have to cast down all vain imaginations that parade themselves above the things of God. This thing is telling you you're not good enough and you're so bad. But wait a second here. Why do we believe something that is not of God, and then we allow that to become our truth? And he was like, oh. And I said, God's word says that we think upon things that are lovely, things that are just, things that are holy, things that are pleasing to God. And I said, let's talk about that. So we went through all the things that are holy about Titus, things that are just about. And I began to build up his spirit man of who he was in Christ as a young man. I'm not kidding. I have not seen my son act that way again. I've not seen him beat himself up. When he gets in trouble, he actually can get in trouble. And he, like, takes it on the chin a little better now. He's not, like, falling apart. Like, it's so horrible. Like, he would mail it. I'm just like, dude, I just asked you to put the dish away, and I was mad at you for not. You know, like, it's like we can have a real conversation again. Because I had to train him. Maybe you need to train yourself, girls. You're in service, not because to fill seats and to be a part of a big church. That's not what this is about. This is about, I come to church because I'm hungry to find out what God has for me. I need God to fill me so that I can pour out in the right way and not the wrong way in life, so that I can have the right results and not the wrong results. You see, that's what this is about. And when we link arms together and we remind ourselves, we all are going to have our moments of weakness, but you need each other. You need each other. Just as God needs us. Did you know that? He needs you. That's why he went and sat at the right hand, and he left all power and authority to us. The end of these scriptures, it says, to the church who fills all in all. It means we fulfill the fullness of him. We do. He needs us. So let's do our job on earth. Let's be pleasing to him. Let's walk out with power. Let's do what he's asked us to do. Let's show the devil who we are. And so next week, we're going to talk about spiritual authority. We're going to talk about demonic powers. We're going to talk about what it is to, and then we're going to get into in verse 3, in chapter 3 and 6 and all that. We're going to get more into this. But what I wanted to tell you today was, I'm going to stop at 20, but it goes down to 23. Okay, Ephesians 1 through 23. If you guys could highlight this, and pray this prayer over yourself. And let me show you how I do this. You want to see how I do it? Okay, because I did it for my kids, and now the Lord told me that I need to do it for me. So I actually had committed this to memory. It says, therefore, after I've heard of the Lord and our faith of our Lord Jesus Christ and love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in our prayers. I started in verse 17 always, okay? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of my understanding will be enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance, of his saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward me, who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of heavenly places, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in which is to come. He has put all things under his feet. He has gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. There's two prayers in here. In Ephesians 3:14, that's another prayer you can start memorizing as well. I prayed these two prayers over my daughter, the two-year-old that was having demonic powers come against her. I put Chloe's name in there, and then I started praying this over my children. I'm telling you, there was a revelation of God upon them. They began to hear the word of God, and they would understand it. They would begin to hear something that was ungodly, and their hearts right away would begin to reject it. And I still see it in them today. That now that they're growing up, so if you're a young mama, get this into your babies, because I'm telling you, they're going to need to know how to fight in their generation, because the devil is coming after them just like he comes after you. And this is not a playground for the enemy. He does not get to roam in our world. He does not get to roam in my life or in my children's life, in my family's life, in this church's life, in your lives. You see, I have to take authority as pastor, but I need you to take authority as mama. I need you to take authority as grandma. I need you to take authority as auntie. I need you to take authority as wife. I need you to take authority over your homes, over your households, over your bodies, over your healing. You see, that's what I'm asking you to do today, girls. Carry the power that's within you. If you got something from God today, let's give him a hand. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.